Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers drop a fifth straight game. It is tough times here on East Avenue as the season-long losing streak just continues to get longer. Remember, this Rangers team had lost back-to-back games five times before it turned into a three-game skid. And now the three has turned into four and then turned into five. And here Kitchener stands looking ahead to a weekend where they have the Guelph Storm here at home and then the Erie Otters in a real tough building in Erie, Pennsylvania. The Otters beat the London Knights in that building last Saturday night. So as Paul Fixter and I were saying before he went downstairs for some post-game conversation, there's not really a lot on the horizon coming to help you out. Matt Andonofsky will return from his suspension on Friday night. He's serving, this was the third of his three-game suspension. And Matt Sopp disappeared under rather mysterious circumstances tonight. So we will see if we can find out more and if there's any hope of a Sopp return on Friday. But he was out there for warm-up tonight, and we didn't see him after that. So Trent Swick is not anywhere closer. We do not believe Mitchell Martin is going to be ready by the weekend. Antonino Pugliese was out of the lineup tonight. Cameron Reed, the defenseman, remains in sick bay as well. So these are real tough times for the Kitchener Rangers, who fall 4-0 tonight to the London Knights. Oliver Bonk opened the scoring on a London power play, 6:11 into the game. Bonk's 16th from Kasper Haltinen and Easton Cowan, and it was 1-0 Knights after 20 minutes. In the second, it was a 4-on-4 situation late in the period. A minute 24 to go in the second, and Denver Barkey would score his 25th of the campaign from Jacob Julian and Sam Dickinson. 2-0 London after 40. In the third, early, 1:29 in, another Channers power play goal for the London Knights. Jacob Julian's 22nd from Kasper Haltinen and Denver Barkey. 3-0 London, and then Landon Sim with just under 3 minutes to play. His 7th from Jackson Edward, 4-0 Knights the final. Kitchener goes 0-for-3 on the Channers power play. The London Knights go 2-for-3. And the Knights outshoot the Rangers by a count of 25-24. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers fall 4-0 to the London Knights here on home ice, and that makes it 5 losses in a row for the Rangers, who are struggling in more ways than one. You run down the Rangers lineup and you see a game played tonight without Matthew Andonofsky, a stalwart defenseman who served game 3 of a 3-game suspension. The very talented rookie defenseman Cameron Reed remains out of the lineup and likely for a few weeks still. The kid was trying to gut out a nagging injury, and they finally had to shut him down. And Cameron Reed was the subject of conversation over the weekend through the North Country in Sault Ste. Marie and then Saginaw, Michigan, when there was a conversation about the Rangers' blue line, and it was noted that the team really does miss Cameron Reed. And what does that say for a 16-year-old defenseman, how valuable he already is to this hockey club? I promise you this, Cameron Reed has a bright future in this league, and I have little doubt beyond. He's a pretty special player, and I think fans are really going to come to enjoy him in this city with this hockey club, as if they're not already. But Reed out of the lineup for the Rangers tonight. Antonino Pugliese is being hampered by an upper body injury. Paul Fixter was at practice earlier today and saw Pugliese getting the bag skate at the end of practice. He says there's nothing wrong with the young man's legs. He was doing that part of the work out there, but was not able to go tonight with an upper body injury. Trent Swick remains out of the lineup. He missed the weekend on the road through the North Country. He was injured in that 10-3 debacle in London about 10 days ago, and we do not expect to see him anytime soon. It's an upper body injury for Swick. Mitchell Martin is an interesting situation. He traveled with us this weekend, and Mitch, being the kind of guy that he is, mentioned to us that he's very much looking forward to getting back into the lineup. He hoped it would be as early as tonight, but he made it clear to us that he didn't think the team would give him clearance for that. Obviously, that was not the case, as there was no Trent Swick in the Rangers lineup tonight. And we're not sure, or pardon me, there was no Mitch Martin in the Rangers lineup tonight, and we're not sure if we'll see him this weekend either. Of course, as soon as we can find something out, we will share that information with you. And then Matthew Sopp, who's having a heck of an overage campaign, 28 goals and 66 points. He was out there for the pregame warm-up and then mysteriously disappeared from the ice and the Rangers bench. So that was another missing body for this Kitchener Rangers hockey club. You got to give credit where it's due. We talked about the smothering game that the London Knights played, and you got to go back to a huge save by goaltender Owen Wilmore in the first period off Luca Romano. Just this terrific stuff, and Wilmore picks up his first career Ontario Hockey League shutout. Let's send it downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with head coach Jussi Ahokeisen. Coach, I know two things that you always stress are the game is 60 minutes long and battle level, compete level. Just your comments and your thoughts on your team's effort in those regards tonight.
Well, I think we played I can't really expect more from the guys. Like, only maybe top guys could have scored from the chances. It's too bad. They scored two power play goals and face-off goal. I don't know what happened there. We've gone through quite many times how you set up, and there was just a mental error there, and that's why the goal came, and that's too bad. But the compete, I thought compete was there, and then in the end we a little bit run out of last 7-8 minutes. We a little bit run out of gas.
Do you think the late goal at the end of the second period, and then the early goal in the third period, which was kind of a missed shot, it was a broken play, took a bit of the wind out of the sails of the club?
Well, yeah, for sure. Like, the second period was, especially the second goal, because we had such a good, like, I thought second period we were, it was like chances were 15-5. Like, we had 15 and we don't score any. Usually we need five chances for a goal, and now we didn't score any, so that's a big issue. Good things were Edouard Salé, I thought, played a really good game, even though we didn't get goals, but he played good. Otherwise, Misildjevic, he was buzzing. It's tough. Five young guys in the lineup, and we were missing the third, but it's no excuse. But we have to keep just pushing.
Coach, you'll get Andonovsky back for the next game. How much of a help will that be for the hockey club?
Oh, yeah, for our D-Core, that's he's our one of our captains, and he's a big part of our big leader in our team, and a big part of our team, and he eats a lot of minutes during the game, so it's for sure it's good to get him back.
Lastly, Coach, other than scoring goals, what is it going to take to get this team back winning and out of this five-game slide?
I think we have to play the whole 60, and we have to be, like, even today we had lots of good things in our game, but now it's not just coming in, like, 5-on-5, like, it's a little bit mental errors and what costs us right now, but we have to get our special teams better. We just have to.
Thanks for a few minutes of your time. Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Jussi Ahokeisen, the head coach of the Kitchener Rangers, with his post-game thoughts following a 4-0 victory for the visitors tonight. The London Knights come in and beat the Kitchener Rangers for the third time in the past 10 days. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
London comes into Kitchener, skates out with a 4-0 victory. Paul Fixter is ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with somebody who's back in the lineup tonight after a few games, and it was nice to see him back out there again. Philip Machar, how did it feel to be back in the lineup, Philip?
It felt amazing. When I was not playing, I watched the games at home, so it was kind of stressful. I was in so much pain watching those games. I just wanted to be back, and I'm finally back. Just tough game for us. I thought it was a pretty close game. We just need to be more effective, and it was a good game, I think.
When you're at home watching the games, watching your teammates play, what sort of things can you learn from watching?
I kind of can learn where to go on the ice, where it's like open space, where to play without the puck. I watched that a lot, and like I said, I was just like in so much pain watching it. I just wanted to play.
Coming back after missing a few games, what's the toughest part of the game to get back to get feeling good about yourself during the game?
Oh, it's a different when you're not playing or just practicing. I felt a little bit weird at first today. Then I started feeling better, but my lungs were pretty tired, so didn't feel like 100%. But I don't think it was bad. I think we played pretty good, especially that second period. We had so many chances there. We just have to bury that thing, and I think we'll work on it tomorrow.
Philip, lastly, the power play has been in a bit of a slide for a number of games. What can you and your teammates do to get out of that funk?
Yeah, we have to see. We need to talk about it a little bit. And, the players like us, we have so much talent on that power play. We can't play like that. Like, it has to be every second power play goal. That's what I think. And we'll try to work on it for sure. And hopefully it's going to get better.
Nice to have you back in the lineup. I look forward to seeing you on Friday.
Thank you.
Philip, Mike, back up stairs to you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Philip Machar with some post-game thoughts following a 4-0 loss for the Kitchener Rangers tonight. One of the reinforcements the Rangers were able to get back into the lineup tonight, but not enough against a tough London squad who now has 15 wins in 17 games and points in all 17, the only two losses coming via the shootout. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Welcome back inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. The Rangers fall 4-0 to the London Knights. My buddy Phil up here for a quick conversation at the end of the game. You might hear Phil from time to time on our radio station. We like having him around. He's good people, that Phil. I know, the game wasn't great tonight, but that's okay. Get home safe. It is a great arena, for sure. No question that it is the greatest arena in the league. Unfortunately, the fans leave a little dejected, disappointed tonight. 4-0 the Knights over the Rangers, your three stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. A goal, an assist, and third star honors go to Jacob Julian here tonight. A goal and an assist and second star honors go to Denver Barkey here tonight. And who else could you pick for number one? 24 saves, not the busiest night in goal, but one of the saves of the absolute incredible variety, and his first career Ontario Hockey League shutout. Owen Wilmore is star number one of this contest tonight in Kitchener. So it's a visiting team sweep of the three stars. Wilmore, Barkey, and Julian, your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Your post-game show for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Back to wrap after this, and then get to your calls on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside an emptied Memorial Auditorium as the Kitchener Rangers fall for the fifth straight game, a 4-0 loss at the hands of the London Knights. Quickly, something, Paul, that you learned while downstairs, and this is good news, I will say, perhaps, for the Kitchener Rangers, unless it's a long-term illness. Matt Sopp has about 72 hours to start feeling better, a little under the weather tonight.
Yeah, that which makes sense, because we did see him out there for warm-up. Just feeling under the weather. Hopefully it's not something that runs through the team, though. That's the biggest concern. But I would fully expect to see him playing Friday night.
I got the sense from up here, and we're going to get right to our calls after this, because Paul and I stick around after every home game to hear from you on Rangers Talk. And I have a feeling that after five straight losses and watching this team struggle a little bit right now, fans are going to want to weigh in. It was just my ears, Paul, but I felt as though even UC Ahokas was searching for a little something tonight, and maybe himself felt a little bit dejected and deflated following this fifth straight loss.
Yeah, because this is the first lengthy losing streak that he's had to face as the head coach of this hockey club. There's a bit of adversity in that the bodies are, I'm assuming the only body we'll get back, Mike, would be Ananoski for Friday. So it's a depleted lineup. There's not a lot he can do. The special teams are struggling a little bit, partially because of those players that are missing. So there's things that we haven't seen all year that now he has to deal with, and it's stressful, you know, and because you want to be building towards the playoffs, not going the way that it's been going. But I have full confidence that this staff and these players will get it figured out.
I feel that same confidence, Paul, but I can understand why fans might be feeling a little anxious right now, all things considered. I mean, boy, it's fun being at the top, isn't it? This Kitchener Rangers team was the hunted all season long, and then mid-January they became the hunters, and now they're trying to find their legs and go after that prey, which is the Saginaw Spirit and London Knights right now at the top of the conference.
Yep, and we saw a very good club in Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, did we ever.
And, and Mike, we've said all along the games are going to get more difficult, not easier, as the schedule goes along in the second half of the season, and we're seeing that.
All right. We want to hear from you following this 4-0 London win and fifth straight loss for the Kitchener Rangers. How are you feeling, Rangers Nation? Let's open up the phone lines and go deep into this Tuesday night with Rangers Talk. All of it brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. The Knights 4, the Rangers nothing. We find out how you feel after this on City News 570. What just occurred to me is that we did not get to hear that song one time tonight. Not one time.
No, so, and actually, the coach, in his comments, I heard him talking on TV and then with us, we need to score goals. That's obvious. And that's why I said to him, how do you get yourself out of this other than scoring goals? I mean, that's obvious. You can't win if you don't score.
And you know what? You mentioned this during the commercial break. You go back over the weekend against some really good hockey clubs in Sault Ste. Marie, Saginaw, again here tonight against London. Goaltending has been good. The Kitchener Rangers are just fine in the twine, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think getting Ananoski on the back end, he eats up a lot of minutes. He's going to help the penalty kill. The concern, Mike, and that's why I asked Machar, they need to get their power play going. And I liked what he said. You need to score every other time, he said. Well, I don't think that's really doable, but boy, that's lofty aspirations. Every other power play you should be scoring is what he said.
Speaking of scoring, I wanted to take the opportunity when that goal song reminded me. Every time the Rangers do score, our friends at Libro Credit Union make a $20 donation to Cystic Fibrosis Canada to help us continue that quest for a cure or control for cystic fibrosis. You can visit Libro.ca to find a location near you. You can also give us a call here on Rangers Talk at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. It feels like familiar territory for the Kitchener Rangers. The London Knights continue to hold a number on Kitchener. The London Knights have picked up points in 17 straight games, winning 15 of them. The London Knights lead the Midwest Division, and the Kitchener Rangers trying to find their footing. So let's find out how you feel as we go to the phones. We begin with Evan. Evan, you're on Rangers Talk.
Farwell Fixter, what's up, guys?
We're good, thank you. How are you?
A little disappointed.
Understandably,
yep.
I mean, a little speechless tonight, but, you know, what else can you do? Can't score if you don't shoot, like Paul Fixter said.
Well, I mean, 24 shots isn't a bad night. It's not great, true. Four shots in the third period, not going to get it done when you're trailing. But the real point here is you're not going to win if you don't score. And the Rangers have certainly been struggling in that department.
And a question for you. This actually came from a fan beside me, okay? How much does Dale Hunter pay the refs?
Well, nothing. I mean, I love that narrative from the fans, but we all know that nobody pays off officials in this league.
It seems like, by the way it went tonight.
Or any other time.
I don't
agree with that assessment at all.
The power plays were 3-3, right?
They were 3-3.
Yeah, like officiating did not cost the Rangers the game tonight.
Okay.
All right. Evan, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for making it. I was looking back quickly because I didn't trust my memory. Five straight losses, 9 goals in the 5 games for the Kitchener Rangers. So that's not going to get it done in any league, especially this league, where you need to be 4 goals a game if you want success.
Well, and Mike, the thing that, like, Rakoff needs to get scoring again, you know, and hopefully the last time he scored was a hat trick. The time before that was a hat trick. So hopefully the next time is a barrel or a bushel of goals for this hockey club, and it can't come soon enough. The coach liked Chalet's game tonight. We know Machar. I thought Machar actually started quite well tonight and then kind of faded a bit. And he did tell me, I don't know if he said it on the air or not, but he did tell me he felt really winded. And there's being in shape, and then there's game shape.
Yes.
And he's in shape. He's just not in game shape.
You can ride the bike and skate all you want.
Yeah. No, it's not the same as game shape. Because on the bike, you don't have somebody that's 190 pounds on your back. And that's the big difference.
Absolutely true. Good point there. Seven games now, without a goal for Carson Rakoff, who now trails in goal scoring in this Ontario Hockey League by 1 to Anthony Romani, who has 38 to Rakoff's 37. Cody, you are next on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fixer. Hey, guys.
Hi, Cody.
What can I say? That score, it's kind of haunting to me, but like it's kind of like a gut check to the stomach to me because how much I hate London. But
I'm not surprised to hear that sentiment, Paul, because losses are one thing for the Kitchener Rangers. Losses to the London Knights are another thing. The rivalry, certainly for the fan bases, is very deep-seated.
Yeah,
it is. And some losses hurt more than others, I suppose. This is one of those. You're right.
It does.
Yeah, when you've been cheering this team for 20 years, London can get on your nerves, especially for 20 years for this dude.
That's for sure.
But I got to give Parson some credit. He did stand tall tonight, even in the loss.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't spectacular, but he certainly wasn't bad. Nobody's going to, you know, criticize his performance, I don't think. The team was flat in front of him, though, 100% it was.
Yeah, and plus, I know I just hope the Rangers can rebound, learn from their mistakes, and rebound on Friday versus Guelph. I'll see you guys on Friday.
All right, Cody, appreciate the call. I just want to go back to Cody's point, and Randy, Joe, we're coming right to you in just a moment, but Cody says, as a fan for 20 years, these losses hurt more. Well, I think this is 21. This might be the 22nd year for Dale Hunter, but it's right around that, just over that 20 mark. And I've shared this with you multiple times, Paul. I'll just pull out the numbers. Rangers fans, you might want to sit down for this, because including the 4 games now this season, the Kitchener Rangers are, 17, 44-2-1. 17-44-2-1. I think I've got that right. Bottom line is they've won 17 of the past 64 or so games against the London Knights. It's remarkable. And what you have said, Paul, is that it's only a rivalry if it's competitive. And it's just been so lopsided.
It really has. And, you know, I was around to experience some of that, Mike.
Sure you were.
Years. So I know the pain. I know the suffering. And, you know, you try everything you can to get those victories. And obviously, it's not working at this point, and London is feeling pretty good about themselves, both well when they play in London and in Kitchener. And, you know, we still have a few games versus them to figure it out and get some wins, but it's not easy. The one thing, it's never going to be an easy game when you play against London because that's the way they play. Like tonight wasn't vicious or anything, and I thought the officials did a good job.
They were fine. You know, I have no complaints.
The officials had nothing to do with the outcome of this game.
No.
They called a very good hockey game, and so it's just a matter of finding a way to score some goals and battling through that swarming defensive game that London puts upon you.
The officials did make a call that I absolutely loved because I'm not a fan of any player that doesn't fight through a little bit of a check. And we saw a play of Denver Barkey called for diving. Now, Olivier Savard probably did get his stick up there for a, you know, but that's the play. And you mentioned it at the time, Paul, if you want to play at the next level, you're going to fight through checks like that. But they understand, too. It's strategic. You can make sure the official sees you fall to the ice, and probably more times than not, you're going to gain a power play out of that. But Jason Faist was right on top of this when he said, you're both going. And we can talk more about how you can have both on the same play at some point. But that to me, is another indication that the officials were pretty spot on.
I remember when Peter Forsberg first came into the Avalanche. He was drafted by Philadelphia, obviously, but when we got him with the Avalanche, he was known to be diving a lot. And the coaching staff had a chat with him and said, Peter, you're not going to get those calls. You're going to get called at this level. You're not going to get called. The defender's not going to get called. Stop diving. Battle through that stuff. And he changed his game. He got away from that, you know. And I think, Mike, looking at the play tonight, it was Savard who initially got his stick there. And I think when the referee saw the stick there, okay, that's a hook. And then the dive. So it was a hook initially, and then the dive embellished it. So that's why they didn't call a dive, because the stick was there.
Yep.
So I can get it, but I can understand it to some extent. But you're right. If it's a dive, why was it a hook? But the hook was first.
Yes, it was. And I love the Forsberg story, and I would love to hear that message get preached across the game, because I'm not a huge fan of those softer kinds of plays. But nonetheless, back to the phones. Randy, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. So I've been to about 5 games this year. It's 5 to 6, 7 or 8. That's what I usually go a year. And what I noticed in this game, and I had a few friends with me in this game, and we all said it almost in unison, nobody's hitting anybody. Now, notice Mitchell Martin, Swick, Pugliese, Ananoski. These are our 4 of our most physical guys are gone. So I acknowledge that. But what's left of them is no defensemen were hitting anyone. Now, London picks their spot, but when they hit, they take the guy out of the play, they put him down. So it's almost like we didn't have the effort. When I say that, I mean the physical effort that's required. So acknowledging our physical guys are not there, or that usually lead the charge in that respect. But the rest of the guys that are there, take a man out. I didn't see a body check today. I didn't see a London Knight on the ground today. And this is the London Knights. Like, if you can't get up for this game, then the coach has got to get these guys up for this game, because I know this isn't 1985 where we're going to see 15 brawls, but I want to see a few guys on the ground. Like, show that you care. You're losing this game. Fight back to get in this game. And I didn't see anyone hitting anybody. And that's, I know the game's changed, and it's not 1985 anymore, but Jesus, hit a few players, show that you care, and put an effort in. I didn't see the effort today. You guys might disagree with me, but I did not see the effort against a London Knight team that you need to effort to.
The only thing I will quickly say before I turn it to Paul is I did see one London Knight on the ice when Philip Machar very craftily kind of fell down and tripped a player to prevent a two-on something like it was pretty veteran by Machar, and we even called it out on the air. Randy, I cannot disagree with a word that you just said. Paul?
No, I agree with both your comments about the lack of hitting and, you know, the lack of, to some extent, effort. I thought the effort on the road in Sault Ste. Marie and Saginaw was better than tonight. I will say this. I thought Max DiRicola, who's only in his 11th game in this league, brings a bit of physical presence and, you know, tries to take the body. In fact, I think he's tailored it back a little bit because he's taken a couple of calls. He's trying to figure out how to hit at this level. I agree with what you're saying, though. The other player that was down on the ice, I forget who it was, but when Cameron Mercer cross-checked him in the chops in front of the – that's not the type of plays we want because that ultimately led to a power play. But I agree. I like a physical game. And we saw 1985, as you reference, in London to the nth degree. We don't have to go that far, but I agree. You still need to play this game with a physical presence. Very good.
And again,
two really good points.
Hoping the four or five guys that are out will help with that effect, but, you know, the coach has got to get these guys buying into it a little bit too. And you know, he doesn't probably have the history that we all have with the London Knights, but he someone should sure tell him that, I think.
Randy, really appreciate that call. Again, I'll just say well said. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. We know the game is different. But you know what this also reminds me of, Paul? It reminds me of Wayne Gretzky's book, which was actually the second hockey book I read. The first one was that goalie number 29 that played for Cornell that you were talking about the other night, which was a fantastic book, by the way. If you haven't read The Game, you should read The Game by Ken Dryden. But when Wayne Gretzky, in his book, talked about the Oilers getting over the hump, and he mentioned their first Stanley Cup loss or playoff loss to the New York Islanders, and he happened to go by the room, and he saw all those Islanders in their older team, but knew what it took to win. There are ice packs everywhere. Guys look like they've just gone through hell and back. And, you know, the young, talented, skilled Edmonton Oilers were feeling kind of, you know, okay, the series is over, but we don't feel as banged up. And Wayne pointed out in the book, he realized then that's what it takes. And I think that's what Randy's alluding to.
Yeah, no question. I remember reading that too, Mike, and he expected them to have ice bags drinking beers and partying and stuff, and they're sitting around with ice bags and, you know, trying to get their bodies feeling better again. Another quick Forsberg story. We all know the offensive player he was, and he was MVP of the league the one year. He was so great offensively, but there were times when all he would do is run around and hit people. And I remember the staff talking to me, like, Peter, what are you doing? You're running around hitting. And he'd say, I just don't have the feel tonight. I don't have the... my hands aren't there, so I have to do something to contribute, so I'm going to run over people. And this was a high offensive player. And he would just run around and knock bodies all over the ice because I just don't feel I have the offensive game tonight. He contributed in a different way. And to Randy's point, a point well taken. Really, really astute point.
Am I going too far, Paul, if I suggest... And look, I want to be careful of the comparisons, okay? Beer league, slow pitch I'm talking about. But if I didn't get my baseball pants dirty, I didn't play that night. If you don't have an ice pack or a bruise after a game, did you play? Is that unfair to say these days? I don't know.
Well, it is a different game, but no, your point's well taken. In fact, Tide did commercials about that. Remember, like, the uniforms were always dirty.
Right.
And they became Tide clean. So I think your uniform needs to have a bit of dirt on it to have an effective game. Doesn't mean you're going to win, but you've given yourself the opportunity or the best chance to win. And when you're going to lose a game, take a pound of flesh off the opposition.
All right, let's go to Joe next. Joe, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey guys, I enjoyed the game tonight, and I wanted to offer a little different perspective. I mean, I heard Randy's rant and some of the comments about effort. I feel like the Rangers, you know, given what they've been through the last few games, I felt like they did put forth some effort, and they did keep skating. They kept trying to get to the net. They just simply are lower than the London Knights when it comes to the responsibility for the little details of the game. And I think that London has found another gear here, and it's because they are responsible to each other on the ice. They're responsible to areas of the ice, and they don't quit. They're unrelenting on their responsibilities to each other and to the game. And that, I think, is what ran over the Kitchener Rangers tonight. And it wouldn't have mattered how hard they tried. If they weren't going to match that responsibility, they weren't going to take London. What do you think of that perspective?
I think it's a fair perspective, Joe. What I would add to it is, having watched the Rangers for the past couple of games against good teams in Sault Ste. Marie and Saginaw, you could see tonight through my eyes, as Paul has mentioned, the effort wasn't quite the same. But I'm with you. I don't want to rag on these guys at all, because let's face it, they were overmatched tonight when you look up and down the lineup at who wasn't there. And can't make excuses. The other players have to step up and fill those voids. So I'm not here to take a pound of flesh out of a deflated team that just lost its fifth in a row. But to your point about London, I think you're spot on when you talk about them being responsible for one another, responsible for an area of the ice. You know they're well coached. There's no denying that. And they have certainly found a nice, deep groove right now, and they're quite content in it, Paul.
Yeah, I think... Good point by Joe, for sure. I think two things in the game really changed the game and took the wind out of Kitchener's sails. That late goal on the missed assignment on the 4-on-4 faceoff play where Barkey scored. Then early in the third, minute and a half into the third, giving up the power play goal, made it 3-0. That made it really difficult to come back from, no question. And the other thing we have to keep in mind here, Kitchener is depleted. There's big bodies, impactful players that are out of this lineup. And London has just vaulted to the third-ranked team in the CHL rankings, whatever that means, for whatever that's worth. I don't know who does that ranking, but they're being recognized nationally. So that's a pretty good hockey club. And Kitchener put up a decent effort to give themselves a chance. And, you know, Joe, listen, Randy made some good points. Joe made some good points. That's why we're fans. We all see the game in different ways.
Sure.
Absolutely. It's junior hockey, and the best part about it is the mistakes that are made and watching the fellas work through that. And anyway, I enjoy listening to your guys' chats after the games. Keep it up.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate you being a part of the chat after the game. We love to hear from fans like you with an interesting perspective to bring to Rangers Talk. So thank you for doing that. Robbie and Steven and Kyle, hang in there. A quick break, and we're back with more Rangers Talk following this 4-0 loss to the London Knights for the Kitchener Rangers tonight. All of this is brought to you by our friends at USave Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, the London Knights got one in the first, one in the second, and two more in the third. And speaking of threes, that's three wins for the London Knights over the Kitchener Rangers in the past 11 days. 4-0 the final here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. And the Kitchener Rangers have lost five in a row. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Robbie, it's your turn on Rangers Talk.
Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening.
Here we are again. So I got a question for you, but before I drop the question, I got to say I totally agree with Randy. I know it's hard. We are depleted, but we can't keep blaming the depletion. I mean, once these guys come back, I think the game is going to change again. We're going to find our route again. My point on that one is everybody can hit. Little guys can hit. Big guys can hit. I understand I'm one of the first people to say, you know, they're a bigger team than us. They bullied us. They pushed us around, however you want to say it. But the way you make it into a team like this is to come out and play full of heart, and you hit. You have to hit. If you don't, if you're not going to score, if your power play sucks, then send them home with bruises. Send them home with legal bruises. You don't have to take stupid penalties, but there are such a thing. If I was on a London team that had just beaten Kitchener 4-0, yeah, I'd be, you know, over the moon. You know, you're singing your praises, you're high-fiving everybody. But you think twice if you're high-fiving everybody with bruised ribs. If your ribs are sore, you got a couple of Charlie horses. Not a legal penalty call in hits, but hit. You've got to hit. These young guys that are being dropped in the middle have got to, you know, they've got to show that. When some of these overages and some of the other guys move on, then look, I'm here. I want to play. That's my point, and I agree with Randy. My question is, and it's to get both of you, not just Paul, whatever level of hockey you're watching, the only way you win, the only way you score goals if you're playing not so many shots and weak shots is to screen the goalie. We have not screened the goalie. Whether it's UC's way of coaching, I don't know. We've not screened the goalie. I think we had a man in front of that goalie maybe three times tonight. Every single time, they peel off to go to get the puck off the boards. The other four guys are there to get the puck off the boards. The other four guys are there to shoot. You've got to screen. You watch the NHL. Every team's got a guy that screens. Two or three guys, a guy in every line that screens. We're not screening the goalie. You're not going to score on any goalie, whether it's the second goalie or not. You're not going to score if you're not screening. And that was my point. What do you think about the way that we do not screen the goalie as a team?
I think we do when the players that do the screening are there. Luke Ellenis is about all the Rangers have right now. That's my quick take on it, Paul, but I'm sure you have. I totally agree with where Robbie's coming from. In this league or any league, when you're playing hockey, the best way is to get traffic in front of the net.
Well, especially with the size of these goalies now and the equipment they have. And I agree, Robbie, you're bang on. And Mike and I say that during the broadcast, and we say it a lot when we're on commercial break. The other thing that I would like to see the hockey club get better at is hitting the net. There were a lot of missed shots, good scoring opportunities that were, it doesn't matter if it's an inch wide or 10 feet wide, wide is wide, and you have to hit the net. But traffic in front is key, especially in today's game. Robbie, you're right. I agree with you. I can't see much more than that. There's a bit of courage to go into that area. Trent Swick does it. Luke Ellenis does it. You know, Pugliese, Mercer, those guys do it. But they need to do it on a more consistent basis. And they need to fight a little bit harder to get inside position. Carson Campbell took the penalty on Cowan tonight because he got beat to the inside. And I said this during the broadcast. As a defenseman, if you're going to get beat to the outside because then you still have time to recover. Kitchener needs to fight a little bit harder, in my estimation, to get the inside, to get to the good areas of the ice. And those areas are on the inside.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Robbie. Really appreciate the call. And another good point, because it's so accurate. The game of hockey today, with the equipment that goaltenders wear and the size that they already are, how many times have we heard about goaltenders that are 5'10 and they're too small? Right? You got guys 6'2 and beyond that you want to fill that net. You want high tips. You want net front presence. You want the traffic. If there's a little rebound, you want somebody there to bang at home. Mitch Martin made his living in the blue paint and loved it there.
And these goalies now, they're so, like, there never used to be goalie coaches. It was get in the net and stop the puck. They're so prepared. They're so technical. They're square to the puck. They're robotic in a lot of ways in the net. They're so good nowadays. And you have to get them moving, and you have to have traffic in front of them to give yourself a chance. Doesn't mean you're going to score. At least it gives you a better chance. But when they see it, we saw it tonight even with Parsons a few times. He just put out the big trapper and caught the puck. You know, I go back to, I said the late goal at the end of the period and then the early goal at the start of the third. The other thing is the Romano. If Romano scores, it makes it 1-1. And that, if you didn't see it, if you were listening to us and you weren't watching the game, go find it somewhere. It was a tremendous save
by the London goaltender, Wilmore. And you know, if we go into that period 1-1, maybe it's a different game. But, you know, ifs and nuts, you know, that we know all that whole story.
It was an unreal save. A 10-bell save for sure. Kid gets his first Ontario Hockey League shutout, and that one was in the first period. The OHL was great at getting the highlight out quickly. You can find it via my Twitter if it's the easier way, at Farwell_OHL, or just look the Ontario Hockey League. Look up the Ontario Hockey League Twitter. But just a tremendous save. It'll be on the saves of the week for sure, and highlights for months to come. That's how good the save was. All right, back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Steven, it's your turn.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Steven?
Yeah, well, you know, a little disappointed, of course. Anytime you lose to London, you're disappointed. But, yeah, definitely, you know, it's, you have to remember, I mean, 5 games, but this is adversity, obviously, that first time you faced in how many games. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but you have to find a way somehow to deal with it. You know, and it'll take a bit of time. Now, yeah, as for, you know, physical play, definitely, you know, all for that, you know, to send the other team a message. And as for screening, well, I think, like you said, Mr. Trent Slick was very effective for that, right? So, the only concern, I mean, yeah, we're getting towards, you know, near the end of the season, so... Just standing-wise, you don't want to go down too far. That's my concern with there.
Yeah, Stephen, look, appreciate the call, and I can understand concern about dropping down the standings. I'm not too concerned personally about dropping below fourth, just given the state of the teams below with Guelph, Owen Sound, Erie, and Flint. But nothing is certain, and as Paul already pointed out, 20 games to go still for the Kitchener Rangers, which could be a lot, might not be enough. Like, it's just, it's the time of the season where the games and the points mean the most and are hardest to come by. I want to just touch a little bit further on this idea of taking one's pound of flesh, Paul, because I think it's a popular sentiment, especially when you're struggling. But I think we also have to be careful in talking about that, because I think that's a good chunk of what made last Saturday's game in London go so off the rails, right? London was running away with it and taking some liberties of their own for sure, but then the Kitchener Rangers decided, well, we got to take a pound of flesh if nothing else, and you end up with just an absolute mess of a hockey game. Took two teams to tango and all of that, but I think there's a little bit of a danger of that if your mentality becomes, well, we better go out of here with a pound of flesh then.
Yeah, fair point, Mike. I think what just some judging on what some of these fans are saying is they would just like to see a little bit more physical presence, you know, on a regular, on a consistent basis. And that's a fair comment. The other thing, though, is London's got a fast hockey club. It's hard to hit somebody if they're faster than you. Yeah. And tonight, London was faster than Kitchener. I'm not saying they are all the time. Tonight, they played the game faster than Kitchener. It's tough to hit something that is faster than you.
The other point that Steven made, and that's an excellent point, was how the players are going to have to figure this out. And you and I have already talked about that. I really think that's easier said than done, Paul. Look, this is high-level hockey, and I always hate the excuse, well, they're just boys, they're young men. But even harder here than it is in the pros, I'm sure. I know how these things feel, right? When you're winning, everything is perfect. Everything just works out. The bounces all go your way. When you're not, it's just, it's got to be so tough. I promise you, easier said than done. Snap out of it, sure. But it's, you can say it, then you got to go out and play 60 minutes.
Against good hockey clubs.
Exactly.
You know, and this division we're in, forget about the conference, just the division we're in, there are no, like you mentioned, Saturday. You know, Erie's in the last place in our division. Yes.
Yes.
And they're above 500, and they're not an easy game.
No,
so,
sir.
So there are no easy games. So to snap out of it, you're not playing against the team where, okay, tonight we're going to be able to snap out of it because, you know, they're inferior to us. You know, Guelph's a good hockey club. Erie's a good hockey club. We know London is. Owen Sound plays us tough. It's not easy. So you can't just snap out of it. And I know one thing. This staff, I've been around them enough now. They work. They're diligent at their jobs. They're doing everything they can. All they can do is prepare the team and put them on the ice. Once the players go on the ice, they've given them the direction, the instruction. It's up to the players to go out and execute.
What you just said is the reason I remain confident in this group. And I've been getting quite a bit of flack, especially over the last few weeks when things have started going sideways for the Rangers. But all season long, I've been saying, you know, show me who you are and I'll believe you, because this Ranger team lost back-to-back games but wouldn't lose that third in a row. And that's the reason I still believe now that this coaching staff that you just made reference to, Paul, the way that they work, the way that they prepare these players, their approach to the game in general, I haven't seen anything like this around here in a long time. There's something different. There's something, I don't know, in the mix here that's the right mix. These guys will figure it out. Yeah. I'm exceedingly confident.
I am too, Mike. I truly am. And when they do, we have to acknowledge that, because, you know, it's easy to sit here and rip on the team now that they've lost five in a row, but they'll get it figured out, and then we have to acknowledge that, hey, they got through this, you know, little ebb in the season here, and we'll come out on the other side. And, you know, five losses, it stings, but it's knocked us out of first position. It's knocked us down. It's knocked us out of the top 10 in the CHL, quite honestly, for the first time all season. But it's not the end of the world. Like, they're going to go back to work. They've got 2 days to figure it out and end this Friday and then start another streak, winning streak.
And if Paul and I are wrong about the team getting this sorted out, you can call Rangers Talk and rip us.
Yeah.
That's what it's for, right?
But I truly believe that, and I say that with all sincerity. I don't say that as a homer. I say that because I believe it. And if I didn't believe it, I would say that. But I do have enough confidence in this club. I've seen them enough. I've seen them for 48 games now. 46. I missed two when I was sick. But
don't, Matt Sopp, you can't miss two. Don't be thinking you can miss two. You had back-to-backers. You couldn't make it. Okay, let's get back to the phones. Kyle, you're on Rangers Talk.
Well, I thought when you guys were saying physicality, I thought you guys wanted to bring back the days of Slapshot. So,
Kyle, if you missed that game 10 days ago in London, then that's when Slapshot came back, and it wasn't fun.
I was trying to find highlights, but I couldn't find any of the highlights. Listen.
Shocking. The league wants to bury that video. They'll never let it see the light of day.
Listen, I thought the team played well. They played a little flat. The forechecking wasn't there. But like Paul Fixter said, you know what? You come out of it, you learn. You know, it's a five-game win or losing streak. It sucks, you know. I've played even house league hockey where we've lost, you know, 7 games in a row and 10 games in a row. It hurts, but you learn and you try to get out of it and you work and you gel, right? And maybe that's what it is, Mike. Maybe that's just the difference between this year compared to a couple of seasons ago. Maybe it's just the boys outside of just the rink have just gelled as a family and they understand each other, and that's how it is. So you know what? It's like Paul said, you know, you start a new streak, you move on, you learn, and if you're playing London in the playoffs, there's no better way to beat them instead of in the first or second round. So have a good one, guys. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Kyle. This team, I think, is one of the closest I've certainly seen in a while. And when I think about the adversity they're facing right now, Paul, it seems like all of the adversity all at once. Like, this seems, because there was talk earlier in the season how, I mean, you knocked wood because everything seemed to be going so well, right? Injuries aren't happening, winning streaks are occurring, players are putting up career numbers. It just was, wow, like, it's just the perfect mix, the recipe here, and then all of a sudden everything seems to be happening.
And I think every team goes through it at some point during the season.
Yep.
You know, Mike, I wish I could remember all the things that my coaches have said to me over the years, but just listening to Kyle, something came back. And one thing people always say is, you know, team needs to work harder. We need to work harder. We need to work harder to get out of this. And I remember a coach saying to me many, many, many years ago, sometimes you need to work smarter, not harder. And I think the team, not tonight, I think they can work harder than they did tonight, but sometimes you need to work smarter. And I think that's can apply right now to this hockey club. I think there's areas where they can be smarter in their approach to the game. Hard work, we saw it in Saginaw, we saw it in the Sioux. And quite honestly, I think UC was pleased for the most part. He didn't like the face-off goal, and then it just kind of slipped away. Third period, they were just demoralized in the third period. But I think there's times when you can work hard, but you need to work smart too, work as a team. And I forget who it was, if it was Robbie or Joe, had said, or it might have been Steven, that London always seems to work together, and that's working smart when you're working together, because the game's much easier if you play as a unit than if you try to play it as an individual.
The London Knights worked smart enough to pick up a 15th win in 17 games and points in all 17, a 4-0 win over the Kitchener Rangers here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. Daniel, Eddie, hang in there, and there's a line for you too as we continue with Rangers talk here from the Memorial Auditorium on your Tuesday night. It's brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk, brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Denver Barkey and Jacob Julian each picked up a goal and an assist. And Owen Wilmore made 24 saves for his first career Ontario Hockey League shutout. That adds up to a 4-0 win for the London Knights over the Kitchener Rangers. The Rangers have now lost 5 in a row. 519-570-2545. Star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Daniel, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm doing good, but I could be better.
Okay, well, that's allowed.
Yeah, I thought the first period was pretty competitive for both teams. There was a couple times where I saw Easton Cowan just kind of walk by our defense, and I don't know if that's really bad defense or Easton Cowan just being the best player ever, because sometimes he looks like that. But, our second period I thought was really strong. Unfortunately, we just couldn't capitalize on our chances, and unfortunately that's what you need to do to win the game. But that London goalie is making some incredible saves. You got to give London credit. Such a tough team to go against any night, any team. But what really disappointed me was the third period. It just felt like we didn't have a lot of fight to really get back into the game. So I would have liked to see that tighten up. But other than that, I didn't think the Rangers played that well. I'm very confident that we can bounce back in Friday when we play Guelph. So, I know we have some players out. And I know that you can't really make excuses, but you kind of can at the same time. But I'm really excited to see this Rangers team fully healthy. And that's basically all I got to say from tonight, boys.
All right, Daniel. Thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. It's funny, Paul, how anxious I am to see this team put back together again. All the King's horses and all the King's men put these Humpty Dumpty Rangers back together again, because it's been a long time since we've seen that consistency. There seems to be... Sorry, go ahead.
I can name three other individuals that really want to see this team put back together. Yussi, Jeff, and Brad.
I was thinking the same. As soon as you said that, I know these three names. There seems to be a recurring theme here tonight, and Daniel touched on not really liking what he saw in the third period when, obviously, the wind was out of the sails. But I think the fans noticed a bit of an effort lacking from the club tonight. They would have liked to see a little more.
Well, and Daniel was correct, because they did have a strong second period. They outshot London 14-7. Carried the play at times and spent more time in the London zone, and then in the third period only generated 4 shots. And I go back to that late goal in the end of the second, early goal in the start of the third. That was the game.
I'm thinking now, Paul, like I can imagine, because I thought the second period too, they just didn't have the top end skill that they needed to maybe bury a chance or two. But to me, the second period appeared to be one during which the Rangers had the puck more than the Knights did. You talked about the shots. They doubled the Knights in shots in that second period, 14-7. When you're in the room after that second period as the coach. I mean, I'm sure that the late goal absolutely stings, but I'm sure the message has got to be what you were just doing. Like, keep rolling it out there. It's going to be, you're going to be rewarded for it. But I don't know. Like, what would the message be? What would you be talking to your team about after 40 minutes in a game like this?
Well, you would stay with the positives, Mike. You're right, and they were playing well, and I think what they probably were stressing too, and it never really happened, was getting more traffic. I forget what caller had mentioned that earlier. I think that would have been part of the message too, and that didn't get through because Wilmore was seeing a lot of the pucks. But no, you have to do the things that allow you to have success. I think they would have talked about the special teams, specifically the power play. If we get another power play, which they ended up getting one more in the third period, but by that point they didn't really generate much on that either. They would have looked at that. Hey, here we're going to get a power play or two in the third. Let's make sure we score on that. But in the end, they weren't able to. I think this coaching staff is positive by nature. I think they would have stressed the positive things that they were doing and emphasize, hey, if we can get one, let's get back. That'll get us back in this. And in the end, they weren't able to get that. And the third goal really put a nail in the coffin.
The fans here in Kitchener, and I suspect elsewhere too, but really here in Kitchener, the blue-collar players are very much appreciated. And, you know, I grew up in this town, as did you. There's a blue-collar backbone to this community. And I'm just thinking on... I mean, I think, you know, all this talk about traffic in front, screening goaltenders, net front presence, but you love seeing a guy score a goal because he went to the net and got a dirty one or something like that. And as much as I love what Carson Rakoff brings to the table and that incredible shot that he has, I'm just thinking back on Jonathan Yances, the last player to score 50 for the Kitchener Rangers. And, Paul, I kid you not, on 50 goals, he might not have been 100 feet away from the net total. You know, like 2 feet. Like the guy was just down below the hash mark. Bang this one in, tip that one in, bang this one in, tip that one in, shoot this one from 3 feet out. That's the way Jonathan Yance has put together a 50-goal season.
Well, that's the great Phil Esposito. That was always the line, right? Jesus saves and Esposito scores on the rebound. Right? That was where Phyllis...
I didn't hear that one before. I love it.
Jesus saves and Phil Esposito scores on the rebound. And that's, I mean, that really applies in today's game. You have to be down in and around that. I wasn't around enough to see Yances score those goals. But you're right, Mike. And getting back to your point about blue-collar mentality here, you see it on the penalty kill or whatever when they kill off. The fans love it. Pugliese is a great example. Mercer's a great example. Bodno, that whole line. The fans love when they bring that energy. That being said, to the coach's point, you need to score goals to win. And what they're doing to bring back Rakoff, they're taking him away. They're doing a real good job. That's,
yep.
That's called pre-scouting. You know, okay, you've got your 37 goals. We know how you've got. Now we're going to start to take that away. And they did a really good job. And you could see tonight there was one play in particular where I saw Machar trying to force a pass across to Rakoff on his one-timer, and it had to go through two London Knights. There's no way that was going to get through two London Knights players. So you have to take what they give you, and right now they're taking away Rakoff, so you need to find another way to score goals.
Those goals have been hard to come by. None for the Rangers tonight, and 9 in the past 5 games, all of them losses for the Kitchener Rangers. Let's go back to the phones. Edward, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello, Mike and Fixter.
Hey, Eddie.
That was a pitiful period.
Okay, pitiful might be strong.
Is it though? Like, come on. Like, what, Arquette's backhand, or I think it was him, might have been the best chance for over a stretch of, like, 10 minutes? I don't know, man. Like,
well, Paul said this during the game, too. The London Knights smother you. They played a very, like, you didn't have a lot of time and space out there, for sure. Space, for sure.
Well, you know what? That brings me to my next point. They smothered them on the power play, too. What's that, 3 for 36 now in the last 39, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, you're not far off.
Yeah, that's close to it. I think we were somewhere around 3 for 32 or 33. Yeah, so on Saturday, I'd have to look to be sure, but you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, it's like you know what? Like, I know they're down guys. I'm not saying they're not missing some, you know, pretty, pretty good guys. Like, I know Sopp was out today with what? Like, did he? Was he out for warm up, or did he not even make warm up?
Yeah,
he was out for warm up.
So he was out for warm up. Okay. And then I know Pugliese and stuff, and then of course Ananovsky suspension. So of course it's gonna go up from here. I'm not gonna be someone who's gonna throw in the towel right now, but like by any means. But I will say though that just this has been an ugly stretch, and yeah, I just what else can I say that doesn't sound basic? Like it's got to turn around. Of course it's got to turn around.
All right, yeah, Eddie. Always appreciate hearing from you. Look, a tough stretch. It's true, Paul. And, you know, I've joked with you before because this is your first year doing Rangers Talk with me, and I've been doing it longer than I care to admit. I mean, I love talking to the fans. I really do. But earlier in the season, how many times did I say to you, Fixie, you just wait because everybody loves a loser, right? And we've been pretty active on the phones tonight, but it tends to draw out. And that's fine. I get it. This is almost like a little bit of therapy for fans in tough times. We kind of band together. We call into sports call-in shows, and we air our dirty laundry, and we say, that was a pitiful third period. That's what you get because everybody loves a loser.
yeah, very true, Mike. And it's just because we had so much success early on. The expectations were set so high, so fast, that now for the first time in 48 games, you know, we're in this lull where we've lost and we're not scoring and the power play's not what it was at and we're dropping down in the special teams categories and in the standings. But
those two things tend to go hand in hand too.
No question.
Yeah,
they do. And once they get that figured out, it'll start to smooth the waters out and things will be fine. I mean, the good thing is we're not losing games because of goaltending. And that's how a lot of teams lose because we've got two goaltenders that are capable of carrying the team, capable of winning games on their own some nights, and they've been very good, and so that's a real nice sign knowing that, because we will get our bodies back.
You talked about all that success early on. You and I called game number 34 in Barrie Saturday night just before the Christmas break. The Rangers won that game in overtime, and at that point we're 24-8-2. 24 wins in 34 games. That is success. The Rangers are 6-8 since Christmas.
Yeah, it's win one, lose one kind of thing. And I think it's part and parcel, Mike, with, you know, we can't use it as an excuse, but I'm going to. They've got really good players out of the lineup. And as much as we're putting money in the bank, as the coach likes to say, with Arquette, Yurikolo, McNeil, they're still young players. Not to mention Lamb, Romano, Cameron Reed's out. So it's a young lineup. Like, this bodes well on a go-forward basis. The problem is, because we had so much success, people don't care about the go-forward basis. People want it now.
Well, and let me take that half a step further, if I can. The Kitchener Rangers went out at the trade deadline. Olivier Savard's a nice piece of insurance, if you will, on the back end. Capable enough, but Edward Charlet is a first rounder to the National Hockey League. And I liked then the way that Mike McKenzie got it done, right? Didn't sacrifice his 24 draft class, didn't sacrifice one of his 07s on the team, the Lambs, the Romanos, the Reeds, etc. And basically looked at this team and said, well, what choice do I have? You're 24-8-2. And so you add, but then that just almost amplifies the pressure, right? Because now, like, you were surprising everybody. This was very pleasant and very exciting. Now you kind of have to. Like, you certainly, and I know I'm getting way too far down the road here, but you certainly don't want to be bowing out in the first round this year. You want to go deep.
No, I think when you go out and make a move like that, you're thinking much greater than this team on its own without those additions could have went out in the first round.
Sure.
Or won the first round. When you add somebody, first round signed NHL player and a pretty good defenseman in Olivier Savard, You're thinking way – you have greater expectations of the hockey club than just getting to the first round. And I think that's fair. And, you know, let's get to the playoffs and see what happens. You know, and we know we're going to be in the playoffs. So that's I keep saying they'll get this figured out, get this turned around, get healthy. And you know, we've talked about the net front presence. You made a really good point. I kind of forget about Mitchell Martin just because – it's been so long.
So long. Yeah. November he was last.
So he'll be that guy that goes there. We know Swick goes there. Elenis is getting better and better. The other guy that's really elevated his game, I think, is Luca Romano. He had some good plays again tonight. Yeah. He's playing with a confidence level that I didn't see prior to the trade deadline, and I think he's feeling comfortable. Hey, I'm here, and I'm part of the future. And thank God he's here and part of the future because he's a heck of a player.
The last game Mitchell Martin played was against the London Knights in London. The Rangers won that game. Philip Machar and Trent Swick also injured against the London Knights. I think the Kitchener Rangers would be plenty happy to not have to see the Knights two more times this season. Let's go back to the phones. Mike, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Two-part question. Okay. I didn't know you went on the road with the Rangers. When the Rangers go out of town, do you go on the road with them, Mike?
Paul and I go everywhere the Rangers go, Mike.
We are joined at the hip, Mike and I, on the road.
I think that's amazing. I'd love to be the mascot. At least I could hang out with you guys.
I would not wish you being the mascot on anybody, Mike, because then our bus driver, the other Mike, the Moose Reeves, would be getting pictures taken with you. He loves mascots. So I'll spare you that.
Good,
yeah.
They probably make good money. Another question, Mike. Right now, if the playoffs were happening, OHL, who would the Rangers be playing?
Oh, my goodness, Mike, you're going to make me do one of Don Cameron's least favorite things. If the playoffs were to start today, the Kitchener Rangers would face the Guelph Storm in the first round.
And that's not good, right? Because it seems like Kitchener has a hard time with Guelph sometimes.
Sometimes. I don't mind the way they match up this year, but that's, Mike, that's way too far ahead for my liking right now.
I hope Kitchener goes all the way, by the way.
So do we.
Yeah, I hope they win the cup because you guys probably get a raise because you guys go on the road. They probably give you guys a bonus.
Collins, are you listening?
That's the second person today that suggested we should get raises.
You guys are like the backbone of the team.
No, Mike. No. You inflate our worth, believe me, my friend.
Okay, have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Could you imagine if – actually, I have said this in the past. I was going to say, could you imagine if we got bonuses – for the playoffs. We kind of do because we're on a contract where you get paid per game. So the longer the Rangers go, and I remember saying this to the guys before, and I'll take you back to a story I remember from Pat Burns way back in 1993, that memorable Leafs run that I was so invested in as a Leafs fan. But anyway, I've joked with these players before, hey guys, if you keep winning, I put a little more in the bank, and you know, that's good for me. Pat Burns, because the Leafs that year went 7 games against everybody, Detroit, then St. Louis, then the Los Angeles Kings. And I believe it was the St. Louis series where one of Pat Burns's motivational tactics was, guys, look around this arena. Think of all of, and we can look around the arena now. The cleaning staff is out. Think of all the ushers, people working the concessions. You're keeping them working by winning hockey games here at Maple Leaf Gardens. I don't know if it was true or not, but I remember reading it.
Very true. Very true. You know, Mike's point about being on the road, maybe we should ask to get paid by the mile.
Oh, my goodness, right? That, honestly, don't think this is glamorous in terms of what it adds to our bank account. But we have, and I said this during the broadcast tonight, Paul, when you were talking about how much you've enjoyed being back around the rinks, because the people that are here, and it's the hockey community is a good community, by and large. It really is. And yeah. I said to you, don't get sick of it too quick, because I am thoroughly enjoying every second. I mean, we were unloading gear at 3 o'clock in the morning in Saginaw, and we still had a quick nightcap. We take walks together when we're on the road. We enjoy being around this team, and we learn stuff from the coaching staff, and we get to visit the other communities in the Ontario Hockey League. We haven't even been to Kingston and Ottawa yet.
No, and that's a great trip. And you know, you said this all along. Sault Ste. Marie is a long trip. But once you're there, it's wonderful, and the people are good, and the hotel is fantastic.
Yes,
you know, and it's walkability to the to the arena. We have a lot of fun on the road. While you're on the road, you might as well make the most of it because you're there, and we certainly do, and I have enjoyed that part of it. the hockey community is a great community, and that's one of the reasons that I guess I've spent my whole life in it, because I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been lucky to make my living in the game of hockey.
I'm jealous of you. I've been slugging it out for Mike Collins all these years. Hey, who's had a better run than you, Fixie? Rangers fall 4-0 to the London Knights here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. You're listening to Rangers Talk, and we continue on City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
A 4-0 win for the London Knights, their 15th in 17 games. And, oh, the Kitchener Rangers have dropped 5 in a row as we wrap things up here on Rangers Talk. Quickly back to the phones. Grant, you're on City News 570.
Yeah, they seem to do a little bit better tonight in the last, and starting to sting a tiny bit. Like one of your callers said, they need to do a lot of body, a little bit more body checking. Not body checking to the point where you're going to draw penalties.
Our team
is playing like they played London last year. You can't be afraid of these people. Got to body check. Body check. If I'm the coach, I'm going to tell them either body check or I'm leaving. You pick up the pace, play the game that got you where it got you today. In my opinion, the coach should tell the players that. And then maybe they'll get it through their noggin. Oh, yeah, I guess we should.
Okay.
Not go out there to just have a skate.
Grant, appreciate the call. The coach isn't leaving because the players aren't body checking. But, and I don't know where the Sarnia sting came from. He might have been thinking of the Sioux Greyhounds. Here's the thing. Grant says he thinks the Rangers have been playing the London Knights like they played them last year. How about for the last decade? 16, 43, 2, and 1. I did the math to be sure. So that's 16 wins in 72 games.
Yeah. That's not going to cut
59, it. 59, pardon me, in 60, 62 games. 16 wins in 62 games, including what's happened already this season. London has dominated. I just want to quickly go back to this recurring theme tonight, Paul, about body checking, physicality. Look, we know it's not 1985. The game is different, though, and you don't necessarily build teams with that style in mind. And I don't think this is the way this Ranger team is built.
No, it isn't. It isn't for sure. The coach stresses defending. We have to defend. That's one of the things recurring all the time that he says. And I think when you defend well, there will be a physical part of the game, and that's really what they're looking for. He wants to play sound, solid defense, which means you will be taking the body. You know, that's about all I can say on that. This isn't a team that's going to pound you into the asphalt or whatever, the ice or whatever you want to say. But you need to play the game with a physical presence.
It could be the asphalt or the ice, because if you can't beat them in the alley, Paul Fixter, you can't beat them on the ice. All right, let's get to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, we're running really short here, but we want to hear from you on Rangers Talk.
Okay, guys, I'll keep it really short then. I won't go on. I think there's a big difference. Everyone's talking tonight about toughness and you know, having a bit of pushback and stuff. And there's definitely a difference, like, for sure. I'm sure you guys would agree. Big difference between toughness and also aggressive forechecking and aggressiveness. You don't have to get into a fight in the front of the net, jockeying for position. And you can also poke someone a few times after the whistle and get away with it. It happens all the time. That needs to happen. The ice time tonight, like a guy like Diracolo, I would have had him out for 25 minutes. I don't care how many games he's had in the OHL or whatever. He looks great. I didn't expect, as a fan, to waltz through this 68-game season and not have some bumps and bruises and wounds to be licked. So basically the fact that there's six bodies, regulars out of the lineup right now, I don't really care. I think good teams never use that as an excuse. They just roll with the punches. And lastly, as much as I like having two solid goaltenders that you can go to, it's been a flip-flop show the last five games now, and I'd hope that maybe one of them can take the reins and run with it a little bit and get back on track. Not to say that neither one of them or both of them can't do it, but okay, maybe a nice three or four game stretch for him would be good. Thanks, Dave.
Got to run. Thanks, Jeffrey. I love the way the goaltenders, I mean, they're both playing so well. Keep them playing well. That's my thought on that.
Yeah, and make no mistake, this is Jackson Parsons.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's the number one goaltender, and in the end, he will be the go-to guy, I believe.
I'll take an aggressive forecheck and the kind of physical play that you were talking about a moment ago, Paul, over the stuff after the whistle that Jeffrey says you can get away with happens every game. I hate that stuff. Like I am reluctant to use the word hate, but I hate that stuff. That's the rat stuff in the game. I don't need that stuff in my life.
Yeah, no. And I don't think you'd get away with it because with two referees on the ice now, they don't miss much.
Yeah, Cameron Mercer didn't get away with the cross check in the first period, did he?
He didn't. No. They don't miss much. And if it's a really malicious hit after the whistle, linesman can make that call too.
I'm glad, Paul, that we got the extended time on the Rangers Talk post-game show tonight because we're not going to get the chance on Friday. Our boss, James Sebastian Scott, is going to be taking the calls because we have to take another road trip. So,
yeah, it's eerie.
Yeah.
Not an easy game there either,
no,
Mike.
No, sir.
And just, I know we're wrapping up here quickly, but great phone calls tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
I really enjoyed the input from the fans. Thank you very much.
Well said, and keep it coming. Friday night when James is filling in, keep his ears full, and Paul and I will be here after every home game right through the remainder of the season and beyond into the postseason as well. Paul Fixter is my broadcast partner. Adam Sanderson is our producer back at the boardwalk. The Rangers fall 4-0 to the London Knights here tonight. My name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good Tuesday night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570. PM.